Where is he? That was the wise men were asking when they got to Bethlehem. Where is he? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him. There's lots of tradition around this story, isn't there? Which is not in the Bible. We talk about the three wise men. It doesn't say there were three. Some call them the kings. No evidence they were kings. We don't even know they came on camels, do we? We always picture that as being on camels. I know they brought three gifts, but it could have been a whole crowd of them brought the gold and frankincense and myrrh, not just three. Also, they didn't come to the manger. I know our nativity plays and our Christmas cards have them coming to the manger. It doesn't say they came to the manger. They came to the house, it says. So lots of tradition around this story, which is not in the Bible. The Bible just gives the bare bones, doesn't it? Now, we tend to think they came on camels. Maybe they did. But in Canterbury Cathedral, there's a window that shows them coming on horses. They could well have come on horses. If they came from Persia, the Persians were very good with horses. So we don't know. It doesn't matter how they got them, does it? We know they didn't come on a plane. And we know that. And we also know it must have taken them a while. Some scholars think they came from the area that was Babylon. And if they did, it would have been quite a journey. Could have taken them several months to get there at the pace camels go. And even longer if there was a lot of them. So it was quite a journey, quite a commitment they made to actually go to see the newborn king. So the facts are, we don't know how many there were, but they came from the east. We don't know exactly where, but it's possible they came from Persia, Babylon area. They certainly came from the east, didn't they? Now, it's possible that they had heard about the Jewish prophecies. Remember, Daniel was in Babylon, and he was a member of the group of wise men in Babylon. And he would probably have told the other wise people who lived in Babylon about the prophecies. And they may have recorded this for years later, long after Daniel was gone. And so it may be that they even heard of this prophecy from the book of Numbers, which Daniel could well have told them about. I'll just read it to you. The prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eye sees clearly, prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. A ruler will come out of Jacob. Could well be that Daniel knew this prophecy. I'm sure he knew the prophecy. He may have shared it with the other wise men of Babylon, who may have kept a record of it and may have remembered this. And then they saw the star. Now, I don't believe they were astrologers who believed in the astrology and that sort of rubbish. I'm sure they probably astronomers who actually looked for signs. They would have believed the rubbish about the constellations that guide your future and so on. I'm sure they didn't. But they saw something that made them think, this is special. This is something we need to take note of. And having heard probably these prophecies, having heard what the Jewish people believed about Israel, they may well have said, this is what we've got to find out about. We've got to go and find out. Well, quite a commitment, wasn't it, to have weeks of travel, to get all the provisions necessary, probably danger on the way from bandits, that kind of thing, but they made the effort to go and find out. Whatever the reason why they went, they were determined to discover the truth, to find the one whose birth the star proclaimed. So they came to Jerusalem. Where is he? this one who's been born king of the Jews? Where is he? As we heard in that reading, King Herod wasn't too pleased about this. A rival king, not good news for him. He pretended to be interested, didn't he? He called all the wise men, the Jewish scribes, etc., and asked them, well, where do you think the Messiah will be born? And they told him, it says in the book of Micah, Bethlehem. I wonder why these Jewish leaders didn't go off to Bethlehem. They were waiting for the Messiah for centuries. Why didn't they go off to Bethlehem and find the newborn king? Don't know why. But Herod said, well, to the wise men, you go and find him, and when you find him, let me know. I want to worship him too. And so the Jewish leaders pinpointed Bethlehem, and off went the wise men. So Herod said to them, find him for me. Find him for me. I want to know where this newborn king is. So we have two lots of people searching for Jesus there for two different reasons. The wise men searching to want to worship him, Herod to kill him. People searching for Jesus with two different motives. So off they went to Bethlehem. They went outside. When they went out, they saw this star. Now, I think it suggests to me they didn't follow the star from the east. It doesn't say they followed the star. They saw the star in the east, and they saw it again at Bethlehem. I feel they didn't see it at all on the journey. They saw it, which alerted them to something happening. Off they went, and then they got to Bethlehem. It appeared again over the place where Jesus was. So we have this idea they're following the star, but it doesn't say they followed the star, does it? They saw the star in the east, then they saw it again when they arrived at Bethlehem. The star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Made them feel that the journey had been worthwhile. Having come all that way, and now the star was there. The joy of the wise men, of course, contrasted with the murderous intentions of Herod, isn't it? Especially when they didn't come back to him, he was absolutely furious, he was livid. They didn't go back and tell him they'd found the child, being warned in a dream to go to another route back home. So Herod was absolutely furious. And so Herod, as we know, we followed on the reading, we know Herod went out in a murderous spree, or his soldiers did, to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem under 2 years old. That doesn't mean to say that Jesus was two. It just suggests that Herod wanted to make sure he covered everything, every possibility. I think the suggestion is that Jesus wasn't a baby as such. He had perhaps a few months old. If the star appeared alerting them to his birth, and it took them a while to get there, suggests Jesus could have been perhaps a few months old by the time they got there. He certainly wasn't in a stable, in a manger. In fact, it tells us there, on coming to the house, they saw the young child. Now, it's unthinkable that having a baby born in a stable, people would let them stay there. When someone realized that a mother with a newborn baby, they'd find them a room pretty quickly, wouldn't they? They wouldn't let them stay in those circumstances. So he wasn't in a manger, despite our nativity scenes and our Christmas cards. Jesus wasn't in a manger when the wise men arrived. He was in a house, and he could have been a few months old. So the wise men went into the house. And it says they worshipped him. They worshipped him. Now, when we have newborn babies, we do tend to almost worship them, don't we? But not normally in the sense they did. They recognized that this baby was special. This wasn't an ordinary child. They recognized his divinity, I believe, in that moment. And they went in into that house. So they presented these gifts, didn't they? Gold, incense, and myrrh. They were very poignant gifts, weren't they? They all had a meaning. Gold for a king, incense, priesthood, and myrrh was used to embalm dead bodies in the tomb. So these were prefiguring Jesus being a king, being a high priest, and dying for our sins. He was the King of Kings, the High Priest who stands before us sinful people and holy God as our go-between, and who would sacrifice himself on the cross for our sins and be buried in a tomb and embalmed with myrrh. He died as a sacrifice for the whole human race, including us. But we know he rose again. So these gifts were very meaningful, weren't they? Wise men probably didn't understand why they were bringing them. They were probably inspired to do it. And I wonder what Mary and Joseph thought of the gifts. Don't give babies that sort of thing normally, do you? I wonder whether that was very practical, because when Mary and Joseph had to escape to Egypt, that gold might have been useful to them to help pay their expenses of traveling and so on. So maybe they used that gold to help pay their way. I don't know. That's a possibility. But whether that's true or not, these gifts were very meaningful. Gold for a king, incense for a priest, and myrrh for death. Now, we don't know what happened to the wise men after they left Bethlehem. They fade into history again, and we don't know. But their story has survived 2,000 years. And every year, we read about those men who were determined to find the truth, went to great lengths to find that newborn king. It was worth the effort. When they got there, they were overjoyed, weren't they? Where is he? Now, throughout his ministry, there were always people searching for Jesus, weren't there? Not always with the right motives. We read in John 7, now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking him, where is that man? Where is that man? They wanted to find Jesus to arrest him. They were searching for him with ulterior motives. But there were some who genuinely wanted him. There were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip with this request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. So, two opposite reasons. Jewish leaders wanted to find him to kill him. These Greeks wanted to find him because they wanted to know him. Different motives from those two searches, wasn't there? Different motives. Where is he? And throughout his ministry, we find people seeking Jesus. Jairus, Nicodemus, blind Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, wanting to find Jesus. Where is he? They wanted to find him and meet him for themselves. They wanted to meet him. Where is he? Then, of course, at the end, the treachery of Judas. The enemies of Jesus said, where is he? So Judas led them to the garden to give him that kiss, treacherous kiss, and arrest him. Where is he? They found him, and off he went to be tried. But on Easter morning, it was Mary saying, where is he? She went to the tomb expecting to find his body. He wasn't there. What have they done with him? She said, where is he? And then she turned around, and there he was standing beside her, risen alive again, risen from the dead. Where is he? He was right there. The word epiphany means a moment of sudden and great revelation and realization. Suddenly, you see something. I get it now. Suddenly, it dawns on people. And that's what happened to many people who met Jesus, didn't they? Suddenly realized who he was. Down through the last 2,000 years, of course, this has been happening. People searching and finding him, and they're saying, I know now, he's the one I want, the one I need. Now, we live in an age of spirituality, don't we? But is it the right spirituality? Over at Glastonbury, you can find all sorts of weird spiritualities, can't you? I remember going a couple of times on a Christian stand at one of these mind, body, and spirit fairs, and seeing all this stuff, all these stands of all this stuff, people searching for spirituality, all sorts of rubbish, anything but the truth. That none of it will satisfy. None of these weird religions and spiritualities will satisfy that search. Only Jesus can satisfy that search. Only Jesus, no one else. Yet people are searching down blind alleys, trying to find my meaning in life, trying to find what life's all about. And it's in Jesus. The wise men got it right. They got it right. They went to Jesus. See, the one thing today is what people don't realize is they need a Savior. We're all sinners. Jesus is the only Savior. It's the only one true spirituality is Christianity. That, some people think that's rather intolerant. Maybe it is, but it's the truth. There's a difference between spirituality and spiritual truth, isn't there? Blaise Pascal, scientist, once said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in every human heart. We're made to have a relationship with God. Sin has blocked that relationship, but Jesus came to restore it, to bring us back to him. Wise men sought for Jesus. Wise people still do. And millions have had their own epiphany down through the centuries. Sudden realization. They've met Jesus and this is what we need. He's the one we've been looking for. Now, we don't have to make long journeys like the wise men did to find Jesus. Don't have to travel over Moran Mountain, sometimes saying field and fountain, Moran Mountain, to find him. We just have to turn to him in prayer. It's that simple. So he's there. In fact, let's go back to that one again. Let's go forward. So, we read, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The wise men were rewarded, weren't they, for their search, for their long journey. It was worth it when they found him. And it's worth making the effort to find out the truth about Jesus, to find him for ourselves. Because Jesus said that he came to seek and save that was lost. In fact, God's come to search for us. We don't have to go searching for him. He's come to search for us, sending Jesus to be born in a manger, grow up and die for us, and rise again. He came to seek and save the lost. We're lost without him, but through him we can be found, find the reason for living, the reason why we're here. So millions of people have discovered that and still are discovering it. Day by day, thousands are. Just have to admit our need. The only place we have to go to is the foot of the cross, that's all. No further. And bow down there in repentance. And we find we're forgiven, accepted, given eternal life, the promise of being with God forever. Our search ends with Jesus. May God help those of us who have come to know him to lead others to him, that they too might find the joy and the satisfaction and the wonder of knowing him.